to Hebrews 11:1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I am Rob West. Faith is the heartbeat of our walk with God. Today we'll find out what the story of Cain and Abel has to tell us about faith as it relates to giving. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Our confidence or faith that God is who he says he is and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life are rooted in God's word. We have purpose and hope because of our faith, which touches every area of our lives, including our finances. Today, we're going to take a trip way back into Genesis to find out how faith in the area of giving played a part in the story of brothers Cain and Abel. You may remember that Cain and Abel were sons of Adam and Eve, born after the couple sinned and were driven from the Garden of Eden. Their story is found in Genesis 4. It's a tragic tale of resentment and murder. Cain killed his younger brother Abel because of an offering. Here's what it says in Genesis 4, 2-5. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now, I'm sure you've read the story before. Both brothers were prepared to give to the Lord. So far, so good. Cain was a farmer, so he brought some of his produce, and Abel was a shepherd, so he brought his offering from what he had. And this is where things went wrong. Look at the difference between the quality of their offerings. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel, on the other hand, brought God the best parts of the best animals he had, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The words make it obvious that Abel and his gift were somehow more pleasing to God than Cain and his offering. As a kid hearing the story in Sunday school, I thought it seemed unfair that God didn't accept both boys' offerings. I thought maybe God just didn't like vegetables. But if you look a little more closely, you can see why God favored Abel. Hebrews 11:6 gives us a clue. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God, who always sees the heart behind our actions, was not pleased with Cain's gift because Cain's offering demonstrated a lack of faith. Abel's gift was full of faith. Abel's desire to give his best demonstrated his trust in God's provision and submission to God's authority. Abel chose to sacrifice some of his prime animals, animals that could have brought a handsome price. Cain, on the other hand, was content to just bring some produce and not even his first fruits. Cain's offering was a reflection of his faithless attitude toward God. Hebrews 11:4 makes the connection between Abel's faith and God's favor. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Here's what happened to Cain and Abel. Cain was furious that God approved of his little brother and not him. Genesis 4:6 continues, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" You see, not only was Cain faithless and false toward God, he also broke faith with his brother by killing and denying him. So God judged Cain and sent him into exile. Our relationships with each other are as important as our motivations and attitudes when it comes to giving. Restore faith with your brothers and sisters in Christ before you bring in your own offerings to church. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:23 and 24. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift." You see, as Christians, we have the opportunity every day to do what is right. By the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can choose to walk by faith just as Abel did. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. As believers in the world today, we live our lives with a foot in two worlds. We live our life in this world, marred by sin, full of war and strife and conflict. And we live our life in the new world that Christ has secured for us. We feel this tension in our own body, don't we? The height of joy we feel in worship can be so quickly squelched by turning on the news or getting cut off in traffic on your way home. We live conflicted lives, but in Christ we find peace and rest. Paul's prayer for us, may the God of peace give you peace at all times, peace that settles our restless hearts. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. As we round out the week, we'd love to tackle your financial questions today. We know you have them. Let's talk about them. 800-525-7000. That's right. Our team is standing by. 800-525-7000. We have two lines open. Perhaps one of those is waiting just for you. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Oregon. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
I have a question. I've called you before about Plaid.
Yes.
They're flat out a data mining company, but in order to sign to deal with online companies like Etsy.
Yes.
They demand that we sign up with Plaid, or they won't pay us.
Right.
We can sell all we want, and they'll just keep the money.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
Anyway, I think Plaid probably is paying Etsy for being able to mine all their, I'll say constituents. And it frightens me, really, to just lay myself open to that sort of thing. I mean, am I being foolish? Am I silly to think that having them dig around in my private affairs, somebody like that? sending it off to China or wherever they send it and get paid for? Am I being foolish?
No, I mean, I'm personally comfortable with Plaid. I mean, we've looked into it pretty extensively. They are the biggest in this space, so they're widely used. I mean, just about every major company that offers bank connectivity uses Plaid as the backbone. Plaid was going to be sold to one of the big credit card companies, ended up staying private. You know, they have obviously probably the most intensive encryption and security of any of them, just in terms of the security piece with, you know, the advanced encryption standards and the protocols that they use to protect your financial data. They do detail all of the information on their trust and safety page as to how they not only secure your information with multi-factor authentication and, you know, the fact that they promise never to share your data without your permission, never sell or rent your information to other companies. It allows you control over which companies have access to your data and what data is shared. So all of that's detailed there. And I think, you know, the reason that most companies use them is they are the biggest and they have the most intensive safety protocols. So I would say if you're, you know, if Etsy is the platform that you want to use and they use Plaid, I would personally proceed with that without any hesitation. Now, we always need to use good standards when it comes to protecting our own information, which means we're monitoring our accounts. We probably have a PIN number on our credit file. You know, we're using, you know, best practices with regard to passwords that are changed regularly with long strings of characters, probably using a password manager, never conducting business on public Wi-Fi, those types of things. Of course, staying away from phishing emails and never providing personal information to somebody who calls you on the phone, despite who they claim to represent. But in terms of Plaid security and reputation in the industry, I would personally be comfortable with it. Now, Susan, at the end of the day, you need to follow your own convictions on this. But, you know, if you were trying to do business on Etsy and they required you to use Plaid, I would be okay with that personally.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Are you aware that they have been sued for data mining malfeasance?
Yeah, I've seen some of these in the past, and, you know, there's active lawsuits going on with all of these companies. Some of them, you know, have material things behind them. Others don't. In many cases, they're frivolous. So, again, I think at the end of the day, you know, you need to decide, do I want to do business on Etsy? And, you know, do I have a conviction to stay away from Plaid? If you do, then you'd need to find another platform, perhaps. Otherwise, I think, you know, at least from my standpoint and the research that we've done, we're comfortable with it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I appreciate you checking in, though. What is it that that you sell on Etsy, Susan?
Junk that I pick up at yard sales.
Okay, yeah. Has it been successful?
It's like mining gold. It's the most fun thing you can ever do when you get to get an idea, you know, that this is a great dress. I know somebody will love it.
Yes.
Right now, I'm working on vintage muumuus that I've got quite a collection of.
That's great.
Well, I know.
I love it.
Cowboy boots, thing like that. That's very fun.
Well, and it sounds like you enjoyed. Yeah, I think that's the key. So very good. Well, hey, thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate you asking the question today. God bless you. Let's go to New Jersey. Hi, Lisa. How can I help?
My daughter asked me a question because she's very concerned about her credit score. She's been doing an excellent job with her credit score, and she was so obsessed with paying off her student loans.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't have much of a student loan because our family model had been to, before we go to school, you know, we prepare them academically, but we also make sure that they were good in sports so that they would earn some scholarships to go to college. She decided not to do that, and she said, okay, I can look for a job, or I can look for scholarships all day as a full-time, and that's what she did, and it ended up being quite profitable. So she had small student loans, not a lot,
yeah,
which we were prepared to pay.
Sure.
She wanted to do it herself, so she was obsessed with paying it off, and she took what money she had out the bank recently and paid off her student loan. Fine.
Okay.
But then she said, I checked my credit score, and it went down 17 points.
Yeah.
Why is that? And I said, maybe it's because you are a risk if they're counting on that interest when they value the loan. I don't know if that's true.
You know, it comes down to one of the factors that makes up your credit score, that is your credit mix. So there's two types of credit. There's a revolving credit, which would be like a credit card, and then there's installment credit, which would be like a car loan or a student loan where you have a scheduled repayment at a stated interest rate, and then you pay it back based on that schedule unless you accelerate the payoff. And part of the formula incentivizes you to have a good credit mix, meaning you have different types of credit. You've got some installment accounts, you've got some revolving accounts. It's probably that she has very little credit, and the fact that this installment credit was paid off, it's no longer a part of her credit mix, which caused her credit score to dip temporarily. Does that mean she shouldn't have paid off the debt? Absolutely not. You know, we don't want to let the tax tail or the credit score tail wag the dog here. We want her to operate by good, sound, biblical financial principles when it comes to, you know, handling her financial life, and that includes getting out of debt as quickly as possible. A 17-point dip on her credit score, number one, is probably temporary, and number two, unless she's out trying to qualify for a loan, it doesn't really matter. So it'll come back. I think the key is just recognizing that credit score is going to be a moving target, and there's five different key factors that make it up, and one of those is the credit mix, and having that student loan come out of that mix is probably what resulted in the dip. Does that make sense? Oh, I think we lost you. But thanks for your call today, Lisa. Hopefully that helps her. By the way, encourage her, because this is incredible that, number one, she took that on herself, and number two, she prioritized getting it paid off as quickly as possible. And I love the work that she put into getting those scholarships. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, back with more of your questions on faith and finance just around the corner.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor?
The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today for your questions related to anything financial. Give us a call right now, 800-525-7000. That's right, the number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Ann, a first-time caller in Virginia. Go right ahead.
I would like to know about cashing savings bonds, how that affects your taxes and how to do it.
Yeah, very good. So the way to cash those in, you can try to cash in the paper U.S. bonds at a bank or credit union where you have an account, but not all of them will do it. Let me ask, though, Ann, are these paper bonds or electronic?
Paper.
Okay. Great. So you can try the bank where you currently bank and see if they'll do it. But if not, more and more of them are requiring you to go directly to treasurydirect.gov, which is the U.S. Treasury's website specifically for these bonds. You'd be able to type in the CUSIP numbers and find out exactly what they're worth, and they'll give you also the instructions on how you can redeem those when you send those in. So treasurydirect.gov is the place to go. You'll probably have to do it through the mail. And then once they receive those paper bonds, they'll be credited to your account at Treasury Direct. Then you would be able to electronically redeem them. And once they're redeemed, then you could transfer it out to a linked account like a checking or a savings account. The interest that your savings bond earns is subject to federal income tax, but not state or local income tax. And so your bonds earn interest from the month you own them, and then you get the interest all at once when you redeem them. And so this happens when you cash the bond in. And then at that point, you would report that when you filed your income tax return for the year.
But you don't have to report the amount of the bonds as income.
That's correct. Just the interest that you earned.
Just the interest, okay?
Yes.
And if you have time for another question.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to know about investments and having beneficiaries designated on the investments.
Okay. Yeah. What about that?
How that affects a will.
Yes.
Is it still necessary to have it in a will?
That's a great question. A beneficiary supersedes the will, and so if you have a beneficiary listed on any of your accounts, brokerage account or, your savings bonds, that would pass outside of probate directly to that beneficiary upon your death. Your will would cover anything that's not, an account that's named with a named beneficiary. So any personal items, any accounts that don't have beneficiaries designated, your home, let's say, unless you had a what's called a transfer on death deed, then your home would be subject to your will. But a named beneficiary supersedes the will and causes that particular account to pass outside of probate and a part of the will.
And what about transfer on death? Is there any problem with that?
There is not. No, as long as you keep those up to date, that is going to ensure that whoever is receiving that immediately gets access to it. You don't have to wait for the probate process, because that can take some time and there is some expense to that. And the court gets involved with a transfer on death. It goes immediately upon your death.
All right. So suppose the person that's you're doing that transfer on death lives with you. Can you some way, write a note that everything in that house goes to them and therefore avoid probate?
No, that would really fall in your will. You would have to have an official transfer on death in place tied to a particular account that allows you to do that. Otherwise, the last will and testament covers everything else.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you, Ann. That's very kind of you. Have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Victor. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rob. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Awesome. I said God bless you for the program. I really enjoy it. I listen to it every day in my car. It's really awesome with the insight that you give.
Thank you, Rob.
I got a quick question, a couple of things. I've been really, really late on my credit cards and, borrowed some money from the payday loan and because I'm going through some, taking care of my mom. It's just really, hard on me. So I intended to consolidate my credit cards and all the loans so I can have some payment for every month. I want to know, what are the implications and if it was advisable for me to do that because I have a dream of, trying to get a buy house in the future. I just wanted to get your advice on, stuff like that.
Sure. Do you have a credit card that you use for budgeted items on a monthly basis, Victor?
I do. But right now I'm behind the payment. So, like I said, I wanted, which I've already done, called the National Debt Relief. They consolidated my debt and it gave me like $325 every month because I was paying almost like $700 for the payday loan like every 2 weeks.
I would stay away from those, Victor, for sure. Let's do this. I want to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors work with you on setting up your budget. We don't want to use those payday loans ever again. I'd also encourage you to stay away from national debt relief. What we need to do is get you on a spending plan that's below your means. And if those credit cards are causing you problems, then we need to cut those up and just use debit cards. So we can stay on budget. You stay on the line. We're going to get your information. I'm going to cover the cost to have one of our Christian financial counselors call you and work with you over the next several weeks to get your budget set up and get you on track, okay? Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
When the Bible is your guidebook for living, it completely changes the way you direct your family, the value you place on money, even the way you look at ordinary people and routine tasks in life. We'll look at the countercultural Christian life this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
The Hawaiian Electric Utility decided to go seize its property. What do we see about agencies that lie is that they cover up? Seize the evidence, then he came with a new story. That's not a good pattern, guys. I don't want to bear false witness. Let's not fight for heaven using the tools of hell. I repeat myself only in defense of the people of Maui, because I want to make sure their voices are heard.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost-sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we head to North Carolina and talk to Lori, first we're headed to Tennessee. Glenn, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Hello. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I closed out some certificates, some of which were in IRA certificates. I'm talking CDs. And I placed them in higher rate certificates, the IRA ones and the regular ones. And I took losses, of course, on the IRA certificates and the regular ones. Are those losses, is there a place on my tax return? I know, I'm pretty sure there is for the regular certificates, to claim that loss. Is there a place on there? Or do I claim the IRA certificate loss on the return as well?
Yeah, so you had an early withdrawal penalty. Is that right, Glenn?
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah, so if you pay an early withdrawal penalty, you can deduct the full amount from your taxes, even if the amount, you know, if it's an amount that's greater than the interest earned. So you would just want to let your CPA know that.
Okay. Even on the IRA certificates?
Oh, I see. No, I missed that part. So in an IRA, there is no taxes paid, you know, until you pull that money out. So that would not be able to be deducted, but the opposite is true as well. You're not going to pay taxes on the interest you're earning inside the IRA either. You're just going to pay tax on it as income when it comes out in retirement.
That's right. Now I got it. I knew that. It just wasn't coming to me. Yeah,
okay.
I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely, Glenn. Thank you for your call. Absolutely. I'm glad to do it, and thanks for being on the program. 800-525-7000. We have a couple of lines open with your financial questions today. You can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Lori. How can I assist you?
Hi. I appreciate the call.
Sure.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. I just had a question about, you know, in the Bible, Christ talks about us being very generous, and I guess I'm trying to figure out how that works as far as my finances. So my husband and I are both retired, and his income from retirement is not a lot. It's through a pension, but we have no debt, and we have some money in investments. And, you know, I don't understand, I guess, what we're supposed to do as far, like, is there a percentage that we're supposed to be giving out? We do tithe at our church, and we do give a little bit of money to a missionary every month.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the reality. You know, when we look at the Council of Scripture, we realize that, you know, generosity is really just a part of what we should be doing as believers. You know, it's clear throughout the Council of Scripture. Listen to this from the Message. I love this. This is 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, "This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. You see, the idea is that everything we receive is a gracious gift from God. It all belongs to Him. And one of the invitations He gives us is to be generous with what He's entrusted to us, so we can be a part of His activity, touching and changing lives there in your community and around the globe. Now, in the Old Testament, we had the law, right? The Mosaic law. And actually, the giving laws went far beyond the 10% tithe. When Jesus entered the scene, though, He took giving to an even higher level, and He showed us a different way of giving, what I might call whole life generosity. He demonstrated that by giving His life as a sacrifice. So what does that look like for us? Well, He taught us that we should give as we've been blessed in Luke 6:38. He said, "To whom much has been given, much is required," in Luke 12:48. He, of course, commended the most famous giver in the New Testament, the poor widow who gave out of her poverty her last two coins. And then He challenged the rich young ruler to give all of his wealth away. Now, I think for each of us, we need to take that model of New Testament giving, which is proportionate, sacrificial, cheerful, giving freely, not under compulsion, not a legalistic approach, but a cheerful, worshipful giving posture, and bring that before the Lord and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And ultimately, that's between you and your husband and the Lord, what you might, you know, how you might approach that. I think the tithe is a great beginning point. A lot of people use that as the discipline of putting God first and giving Him our best right off the top. It's a meaningful guideline. I think the tithe teaches us how to give because it's systematic and proportionate. But I think it's the beginning point, not the ending point. My friend Randy Alcorn calls it the training wheels of giving. And so I think as we grow in our spiritual lives, one of the ways God uses finances is to grow us up spiritually, because as we give, it's a demonstration very tangibly of our ultimate trust in God and our worship of Him and our ability to say, "God, I believe you're my provider, and that's why I can hold this loosely and give it generously, because I believe you'll continue to provide in the future." Now, what that looks like, it could take on any number of forms. I mean, some people get really radical and do a reverse tithe and, you know, give 90% away and live on 10. Others maybe use an incremental approach where they'd say, "Listen, we want to give a tithe, a tenth, systematically, but we're going to increase that every year, maybe by a percentage point." And again, that's between you and the Lord. Others will say, "You know, we want to not only give out of our income, but we want to give out of our assets. And so, you know, we're going to give a gift of an appreciated stock or a piece of real estate." Again, I think it's all a part of your journey in faith with the Lord. But the more, you know, my experience is the more we give, the more we want to give, because we experience the joy that comes along with it. But I don't think there's a hard and fast rule here. Does that all make sense, though?
Yeah, it actually does. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, Lori. Well, I'm delighted for you as you continue to kind of journey in this area and explore God's heart as it relates to generosity. And thanks for weighing in today and asking the question. I appreciate it very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got, it looks like, two lines open today. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. When we come back, we'll take the rest of our calls in the final segment, though. Before we head to our next break, though, let me just remind you, you know, here at the end of the year, it's about 6 weeks away from the end of the year. I know, really hard to believe. I want to invite you to be a financial supporter of our ministry here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This program is listener supported. We're incredibly grateful for our partnership with American Family Radio. But as a listener supported ministry, we rely on your gifts and support to bring you this broadcast every day, as well as the other ministry resources that we offer at faithfi.com. and the FaithFi app, with our coaches and counselors and all of the resources we provide to equip you as a wise and faithful steward. So here at the end of the year, I'd love to just invite you to be one of our supporters. We have a pretty big goal to reach, $250,000 between now and the end of the year, and that's in part going to come from our faithful AFR listeners. And so if you'd like to be a part of this ministry and make a gift of any amount, we'd certainly be grateful. You can do that on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button at the top of the page. And whether you give one time or monthly, it would go a long way to helping us reach our year-end goal. Faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
Motherhood requires strength. On the next Focus on the Family, mom of seven, Heidi St. John, explains how you can place your confidence in God and ways to press into His love, grace, and mercy. With relatable stories, practical tips, and inspiring encouragement, you'll be motivated to connect with God more regularly on the next Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Angels seem to be, in some special way, particularly geared to give instructions. And you know what? That's at the very core of who they are as individuals. Because what does the word angel mean? At its very basic core meaning is the word messenger.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Angels, Who They Are and How They Help, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. I probably have room for one or two more questions in this segment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Faye. How can I help you? Hi, Faye. Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. My situation is that I'm trying to... I'm 71, and I'm. I had a medical emergency back in 2008, and I had to draw everything out of my savings and my Social Security savings and all that.
Okay.
I have, in the last year, put all of my savings that I have into two CDs.
Yes.
But what I'm wondering is there something that I, at my age, put some type of Social Security account or account like that? Is there something I need to be, somewhere I need to be putting that money other than a CD?
I see. Yeah. So the way we would normally think about that is the first bucket, if you will, is what we call your emergency fund. So that would be the money that's liquid, it's safe, it's not at the risk of the stock market, and it's there for emergencies. Typically, in this season of life, you might want to have, let's say, 6 months' worth of expenses in that emergency fund. So you would total up all of your expenses over a month's time, multiply that by six, and that might give you a goal for what you would want to have at a minimum in your emergency fund. And the idea there is that it's probably in a separate savings account, earning some interest. The good news is you can get a decent amount of interest these days, 4.5% plus, if you use an online savings account with one of the online banks. Maybe you link it to your checking account electronically if you're comfortable with that. And then it's not there in your checking account where, you know, it's not quite as easy to spend it, but it's maybe 1 or 2 days away from an electronic transfer if you needed it. I would probably put that in a savings account, not a CD, just because by definition, you want to be able to get access to that when you need it. then if you had money that went beyond that, then we can look at, you know, what is the time horizon for that money and whether or not you want to take any risk. If you don't want to take any risk, then you'd probably want to stick with CDs because you can get a decent rate of return right now. Instead of 4.5% on that savings account, maybe you're getting 5.5% on a one-year CD, and that's a great return. Now, if you wanted to take a portion of what you had beyond your emergency fund and invest it, now we could start looking at things like bonds, corporate or government bonds. We could look at even a smaller allocation to stocks to try to grow the money and outpace inflation even beyond the return you might expect on the savings or the CDs. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. I appreciate your time and your help there.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Now, I did see you had a question here in my notes about an IRA. I will say you can do an IRA at any age, but you do have to have earned income. So what is earned income? Well, earned income is income that comes to you by way of wages like salaries and tips and other employee compensation. Unearned income is bond interest, CD interest, stock dividends, interest from savings accounts. So if you're not working and you don't have any earned income, then you would not be able to do an IRA. But if you are, then you could put in up to the amount of earned income you have or the limit for this year, which is $7,500 if you're over the age of 50.
Okay, I am still working.
Okay.
It's only a part-time situation, but
okay.
I have a little company set up that I file my taxes under and all that.
Great. Yeah. So then that would allow you to contribute to an IRA up to the amount of earned income you have or $7,500, whichever comes first.
So how would I go about starting an IRA?
Yeah, so you would just open an IRA at one of the custodians. You could do that at your bank. You could do that at a brokerage firm like Fidelity or Schwab. And then you'd make the contribution. And once you did, then you'd have to decide how you want to invest the money. Do you want to put it in CDs inside the IRA? Do you want to put it in stocks and bonds? You could choose whatever you'd like.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Faye. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Dee. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Now, my husband died. Is there any reason for me to, instead of having the will to go through probate, just put my daughter's name instead of his on the wheel and recording it?
Yes, there is a reason not to do that because for tax purposes, it's better if your daughter inherits the property as opposed to receives it through the deed. So if you put her on the deed, then she gets what's called your cost basis. So the way you determine the taxes on the sale of real property is when it's sold, if you have a profit, then you pay capital gains tax on it. Well, if you put her on the deed, she's going to keep your original cost basis. So what you paid for it is what will determine ultimately how much profit there is when it's sold. If, however, Dee, she inherits the property, then she would actually enjoy what's called a stepped-up cost basis. So the new cost basis, when she inherits it, would be the value of the property as of the date of your death. And that would mean that she would pay probably a lot less in capital gains because, you know, if she turned around and sold it right away, there would be no gain because she would have, you know, the ability to sell it at the same market value of the stepped-up basis. Does that make sense?
Yes. May I ask one more question?
Sure, very quickly.
The cost of probate.
Yes. You're wondering how much does probate cost?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it could, if it's an uncontested probate, it could range anywhere from, you know, $1,500 to $3,000 would be typical.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Kentucky. Hi, Catherine. How can we help?
Yes, I'm calling. I've called you before and to what you said. Now I'm wondering, is it still okay? Or is it a good time to invest in the index fund for my grandchildren?
Yeah, I think that can be a good way to go with regard, especially if you're opening an account for a grandchild. Typically, you'd have a smaller amount of money you're working with. And as a result of that, you know, it gives you good broad diversification. You just capture the broad moves of the market at that point with an index fund. And, you know, it can be a very effective way to invest because it's low cost. You have good diversification and you're essentially just capturing the moves of the market over time, not necessarily trying to pick the winners and losers. The only reason why you might not want to use an index fund is if you want, for instance, to use a faith-based investing fund family where it was aligned with your values as a Christian. You know, that would be where you might want to avoid an index fund, because an index fund would have, you know, every company in the index, which may mean that you, for instance, might own a company that is in tobacco or alcohol, something like that. Because those would be a part of the index, whereas with a faith-based investing fund, often they will, you know, avoid those to be more aligned with your values as a believer.
Okay, so in faith-based, do I just go online or do I go into your office?
Yeah, you could find those fund families on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click on the show, and you'll see a listing of all those faith-based and fund families.
How much is I belong to Fidelity, or I had some money in Fidelity, so I still have an account there. If I decided to do that, that's who I'd go to.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, either Fidelity or Schwab. You could buy those fund families.
Faith-based. What is the charge per month or whatever?
Well, if you were to go directly into one of those mutual funds, you'd have to look at the particular fund you selected to see what the expense ratio might be. It, you know, it could be maybe 1.1%. It could be, you know, maybe 1.5%. You'd want to check the expenses on each fund family to see what the fees are for the management, and all of that is disclosed in the mutual fund's prospectus.
So once again, I would go Sound Mind Investment and go in and look for.
The Sound Mind Investing is a great website, and they do have some great mutual fund selections. But if you're looking specifically for faith-based investments, you'd probably want to head to our website at faithfi.com and click on the show. And then if you scroll down, you'll see the faith-based investing underwriters of this program all listed there.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thanks for your call today, Catherine. We appreciate you being on the program. Mike in Texas, looks like we're going to have to try to get to you next week. Let's see if you can hold the line. Maybe our team can grab that and get you scheduled for a future broadcast. I apologize we didn't get to you today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today. You know, as we think about managing God's money, here's the ultimate objective. Our heart's desire for you is that you would ultimately see God as your ultimate treasure. That as you manage money, your heart would be aligned with the Father's, and you would see money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, but that He alone would be your ultimate treasure. And I think as we pursue that and then really see money as a support, a means to an end to accomplish that, it changes everything about how we view our money and our role as stewards in managing God's resources. I hope we've been an encouragement to you today, giving you some practical help, but also, above all else, pointed you back to Jesus. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and come back and join us next week. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.